DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Those people are the freaks, man.
Bryce.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Big Jim.
I told you. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Because I told you.
Samantha.
I am going to have regular sex with you whether you like it or not.
Not another podcast.
I'm talking about balls deep in love. I wanna have sex with a personality, dry hump her positive traits, give a pound into her feelings, make her south mouth salivate. Hey Tyra, are you listening? We're not talking just the tipping. Thank you, Scotty Pippen.
No problem, just here dropping off an application. Players in my day didn't make as much pay due today.
Sorry to hear that. Where was I?
You're talking about balls deep.
I'm talking about balls deep.
We're talking about balls deep in love.
I'm talking about balls deep.
My boy's talking about balls deep.
We're talking about balls deep in love.
Welcome back to Balls Deep. I'm your host, Big Jim. With me, as always, is Bryce, otherwise known as B. Rice or the Silent Killer. And James, a.k.a. James, haven't come up with a nickname for him just yet. And a bag of deliciousness has just been handed to me.
Breaking news.
This just in my mouth.
Keep going. You've got this.
So, you know, a lot of things have transpired during the week that we were not here. Obviously, last week was being Valentine's Day. A lot of us had things to do with people that we love and care about. And now we're back together. This sloppy man.
And Jim's about to get into a shitstorm.
Wow, it smells like a storm is coming.
Storm.
So you made a pretty big announcement on Facebook.
I do that a lot when I'm drunk. I just sort of like get on and, there and like, I like chicken or whatever.
Didn't even discuss it with us first. Didn't like, come up. Didn't say hey.
Hey. By the way, before you get there, yeah, just hey, you know, better late than never. Remember when the Titanic pulled in Ghostbusters 2? Better late than never. You know, just you know, it's at least it got there. The message got there, and that's what's most important.
No.
What's most important is
you wasted a golden opportunity to announce you're leaving. You're leaving.
I'm leaving.
You're packing up, going east. You're going the wrong direction, man.
Yeah, you're going backwards in evolution, all right?
No one ever said go east.
Go east, young man.
Yeah.
Get into your Oregon Trail cart and go backwards through the trail of dysentery. Yeah. You'll know the way. Follow the scent.
Follow the bodies.
Yeah.
No, apparently we just discovered how selfish a member of Not Another Podcast is.
See, you're making it seem like I'm looking forward to this whole thing, and this is not a movement. Okay, so just to set the record straight for those of you who don't have Facebook but listen to this show.
the one of you.
Crazy weirdos, you know, alien conspiracy theorists out there. I have
for our tinfoil hat wearing audience members.
Malia and I have made the decision that we're moving back to Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, which, trust me, no part of my being wants to fucking go back there. Well, some of it does because I have a lot of friends there. I spent 25 years.
You have
of
friends
my life
and family there.
I do, and like a lot of those people, they've had lives that have sort of gone on, and we managed to sort of keep tabs via Facebook. But the only reason why we're going back there is my mom found a map. To two-eyed Willie's
wide-eyed Willie
totally wide-eyed, like he knows where the fucking
there were no islands. Yeah. That's why he was always wide-eyed.
The Metellis, I don't know if you know about them. The Metellis,
oh,
they're a mafia family,
big family. Yeah.
Throw Mama from the train. Her sister is actually the leader of the gang, and I think Edward James Olmos is one of the guys, and the other guy is like just stereotypical Italian dude, but But no, my mom's, when Malia and I went back to the house this, not this last Christmas, but the Christmas before, we saw what disrepair my mom's house is in. My mom is 76 years old, and she's not getting any younger, as the painting of her would, you know, lead you to believe. But she's not doing well. Mm. She's not like, you know, like, okay, it's, you know, it's time to cut the cord kind of thing. But it's getting to a point where watching her go up and down a flight of stairs, to me, is heartbreaking. She came here this this last Christmas, and just the one flight of stairs that we have was difficult. Watching her have to take one step at a time and rest, and then one step and then rest, and it's heartbreaking. I cannot abide her being in that row home that she's staying in Lancaster County anymore. I can't let her spend the remainder of her days in this moldering fucking, you know, fucking cardboard box that she's basically living in, and have a good conscience about it. So Malia's got so many crazy abilities when it comes to construction, you know, and hanging drywall and stuff like that. She wears the pants. I wear her panties. She wears the pants.
Oh, we'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah, it tries. Yeah. Just that's what we call it, a little morsel. It's an hors d'oeuvre.
Let me be clear. No one is faulting you. For
no, you started out straight up saying "fuck and you" as soon as I walked through the door in my face.
Let me clarify here. No one is faulting you for wanting to take care of your family or doing what's best for your family.
Yeah.
What we have issue with is that you made the announcement on Facebook and not this show.
And for that I do apologize. You know, I should have waited, but there are more vested interests in play than just this show. That I wanted to basically make a blanket statement to. If I told one person before another...
Jim, you have two things in your life. You have Malia and your child, and you have this show.
Three things. That's actually three things.
No, I count the kid and Malia as one.
Well, is she like Master Blaster? Like she puts the kid on her shoulders and...
Are you saying she doesn't?
Malia's retarded? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying? I will tell her that.
At this point, I think you're the blaster.
Your wife is the assassin. My wife-to-be is going... She's a surgeon. She's the guy you meet in Hostel... That just like paid a couple of thousand dollars to go and cut apart some.
I've got
fat
a lot of
podcaster.
Good credit with your future wife. Two words: Motley and Crew.
Oh, come on! Really? Is this a shovel show where you guys just like basically take turns with a shovel?
Yeah.
Beating me like we're like a second.
You don't know that by now.
Well, that's been every show I've been on, really. There's never been like a hey, welcome back to a celebration of Jim. And well, how awesome he is and how loving and caring.
As it stands, Bryce and I were discussing the many ways we were going to torture you today.
That's fine.
But on your final show...
And the song is Balls Deep that we walked into.
Yes. We'll get to that in a moment, too.
All right. Let me limber up first.
We need to know, and we'll discuss this off the air, when you will do your last show, because we're going to send you off the best way we know how. In a casket.
To be fair, my appetite...
That's what
I
the
have,
Taylor's here for.
Oh, hey, what's going on? It's weird to see
Taylor, Undertaker.
A top hat in this day and age. He's very gaunt looking, too. He's very pale, you know.
Very quiet.
Nice suit,
always,
very crisp.
He always likes to carry that sickle around, too.
It smells
that's
faintly
a little
formaldehyde,
disturbing, but you know, he works cheap. Yeah. So
I loved him in Scream, by the way.
He was recommended by Steak Knife, so...
Oh, well, you know. When Steak Knife talks, people listen. If they have an ear left.
So yeah, I want to be the first to say that I'm very sad that you'll be leaving us. Is this a permanent thing, or is this...
Well, here in again, this is the full scope of what our plans are. Our plans are to, and this isn't something that I've leaked to the internet yet or not. Our plan is to move to Lancaster, help my mom at least get the house into a sellable condition, mm-hmm. so that she can at least get out from underneath the mountain of debt that she's also dealing with, and so that she can spend the remainder of her days in a more comfortable environment. From there, we plan to move to a small town in Wisconsin so we can raise our daughter together, because Portland, if you haven't noticed or seen it on the fucking news, is just it's like every other big city. It's turning into a war zone, and we want to find someplace, you know, happy and peaceful and safe, where we can take her to the park and not find five syringes on the ground.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like
photo.
Malia posted. Yeah. You know, like she takes her to put the baby on the swing and she looks down like, oh yeah, there's like a bunch of fucking syringes just sitting there. You know, the cost of living here is basically...
Skyrocketing.
Portland is basically pricing out those that can't live here anymore.
Yeah.
So even if we wanted to come back, which Malia was born and raised in Southeast Portland, not just Portland, but Southeast Portland, where we live to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So her leaving isn't just like, well, we're just going to move. She's giving up all she's known in her 22 years of life. I gave that to you, baby. you know, on this earth, that pretty much that's all she's known. She's lived in Arizona for a while.
22, I thought
while.
She was like 19. So.
Well, depending on the state of consent. you know,
it's still an adult.
Yeah. So we want to find, we found this place. I have some family that also lives in this particular town. And it seriously, it's like the town that time forgot. It's like something out of like a book of fiction. You know, people don't lock their front door. They don't lock their car doors. There
so
are no
where
fences.
Is this town?
Exactly. Just, and they have like sacks of Nazi gold like in their front like foyer.
I knew it.
Every house you go into.
Fucking Wisconsin. It's always fucking Wisconsin.
You know, what else is Wisconsin known for? Oh, I don't know. Ed Gein. What's that other guy? Oh, yeah. Jeffrey Dahmer also.
pretty sure they breed quite a few serial killers up there.
Yeah. And we're
it's
just.
It's the weather.
We're gonna raise Erica Wright to be a serial killer.
To and that's be a Republican.
To be the ultimate.
Not a Republican. No. Because there are. It's weird because the way.
Hey, serial killer Republican League? Sometimes
yeah,
go hand in hand.
Serial killer.
He takes sight and fires.
but yeah, much like Portland is to the rest of Oregon, Portland is a unique bubble in the fact that there are a lot of free thinkers and it's very open-minded here. There are some spots in Wisconsin that are also the same way, that have that open-mindedness, that have that sort of... It's not as weird, because there's no place as weird as Portland. And that's what's breaking my heart. Because leaving Lancaster from the jump was something that I needed to do. I was living in my mom's attic. I couldn't stand living there anymore. I wasn't being creative in any real, you know, constructive way. I was basically just sitting there and waiting for I don't know what. And when my friend moved out to Portland and he told me how awesome it was, I decided I was going to sell everything that I owned. I just jumped on a fucking Greyhound bus and I came out here. And it was a journey to get out here. When I finally set my foot onto terra firma here on the West Coast, my eyes were open for the first time. I never knew that...
He was blinded by the Hollywood-type lights we have in Portland and took up with a director, stayed on his casting couch for a while.
You know, my jaw still has not been right. I've got TMJ, which stands for the monotony joke. but it's something that, you know, I did not know ever existed anywhere. I've been to Lancaster, and I've been to Philadelphia prior to moving out here. And I fell in love with Portland deeply, madly. And since living here, I have managed to live a dream that I always had kept in my heart. Like, you know, I could potentially do this one day. But where I was living in Lancaster, that dream was never going to happen. You know, and when I moved out here, it was just like there were so many opportunities, and they were just everywhere. The streets were littered with them. And I was like, this is where I want to spend the rest of my life. But realizing now that my mom doesn't have that option where she's at, you know, and now that I have a kid, you know, and trust me, Lancaster, you know, you think Portland's bad. There is a parking structure in Lancaster that is in the running for one of the more high-level suicide structures that people jump off of. It's a parking structure that people just go up to the top of and just leap to their fucking grisly deaths. And I actually... I love how Bryce is like, horrible. Really, do you have any video? Actually, there is. There's some video online that somebody put on their fucking Facebook, of all places, somebody's cell phone, of somebody literally leaping to their goddamn grisly death. And, you know, it's to the point now where they're trying to put up, like, fences or whatever, like nets.
He's stepping up to the ledge. He's measuring for the dive.
You know, but seriously, like, it's that bad there.
The concentrate, you can see the concentration evident on his face.
I appreciate going for the joke, but like, these are people's lives, and they are ending them from this fucking parking structure. They're in the running to try and beat the Golden Gate Bridge as the one spot that people just, you know, kill themselves most for.
It is really a shame that a building, even a parking garage,
yeah,
is known for something like that. I don't care where it is. There was when I lived in Newport.
You know what? I blame parking. That's what I blame. That's suicide aside. You know,
parking's fault.
It's parking's fault.
We got to take down big parking.
There's a
big
place.
Parking. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? No, you never hear the sniper.
And
when
there's
it
the title of today's show: Take Down Big Parking.
We're coming for you, parking.
You're next.
There's a place in Newport called Jump Off Joe's.
Great JoJo's. Phenomenal.
Unlike the name suggests, it became a memorial where people would spray paint the names of people who had committed suicide in Newport.
Oh, Jesus.
By the time I moved there, this place was covered in names. You can still go there. It's they had started building a foundation for a building and I guess realized that building on sandstone was a bad idea. So the foundation
Seems pretty good. Start bringing the concrete.
Keep going.
Foundation is still there, and that's where everyone spray paints. So you can go to this place and see this basic memorial that teenagers did for their high school cohorts. The day I started school in Newport was the day right after a very popular girl had committed suicide. I didn't know her, but when you come in and you just see... The just how much influence this person had, like how well loved she was, and she still chose to end her own life. It's unfortunate that the people who get into that position where they think that death is the only solution don't see or are incapable of seeing how much they're truly loved.
Well, I think, too, though, they do realize, or at least some of them might, that they are loved, but they don't love themselves, and they don't see a way out. They don't see a solution to what it is that they're stuck in. High school is like a hotbed for that.
Because, we've talked about this so much. High school really is... It is.
After we take down Park, and we're taking down high schools.
Big high school.
You're next.
Big high school.
You're
down.
You're next.
We're gonna move in like Texas and make them stupid.
We're gonna make high school great again.
Well, let's just look at it from this point of view. Like, suicide in high school has changed. It's morphed into this really horrible thing where it's not just I'm gonna take my own life, but I'm gonna take lives of as many other kids as I can.
And that's the cruelest of all jokes. You know, that I mean, just that mentality of, I don't see a way out, I'm going to go out, but if I do, I'm taking this asshole with me. Like, why?
And as many of his friends.
You know, like, if you're being tormented or bullied, that's one thing. But, like, fucking Columbine, first and foremost. Yeah, those guys were fucking evil on a different level. They weren't there to commit suicide. They were there to commit homicide and knew that if they got caught... That the life after that was going to be fucking just, you know...
Oh, they planned for it. They knew that they were going to get caught. There was no way they weren't going to get caught. But it was like, we're going to make a statement.
But other situations where, you know, if you're depressed or whatever, I don't know what it is about, like, maybe the hormones kicking in and, like, you know, you're like an exposed nerve by the time you get to high school. Everything is either the best day ever or the worst thing that's ever happened to anyone in the history of people. You know, it's either, you know, one extreme or the other. And there's very little middle ground. You know, and some of it, I mean, I would lie to you if I said that I didn't have thoughts. Not necessarily in high school, it was like leading up to that. But it was something where, you know, you get to a point in your life and all you are is a constant fucking joke for somebody else's amusement, and there's no joy and there's no happiness, and you don't have it at home, you don't have it at school, and maybe if you're lucky you have a friend or two. And there were even kids that I knew that didn't have any friends at all that they made it through high school. I don't know how.
Yeah.
Like, if they had a pool that you could put people in, and this isn't a joke, but if you had people that you'd be like, you know what, I bet before these 4 years are done, that guy's going to fucking kill himself. You know, I knew plenty of people that were like that, and they made it through somehow. And then, like you said, there were popular kids that had the world at their fucking feet. They had people that were like, you know, every day they went to school because they knew that so-and-so was going to fucking be there, and that was their reason for going.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a senior, there was a girl. She was a sophomore, and kind of the same thing. I didn't know her, but of her group, she was a cheerleader. She had a lot of friends. She was like, you know, she was part of the in crowd for the most part. And you know, I went to a Catholic high school where there wasn't a lot of like, you know, welcome to the jungle kind of you know, horrible shit where like there was like gang fights in the halls or spray paint on the lockers or anything like that. It was a very regimented, very strict kind of high school. But there was also like a very, you know, it was a very positive vibe, at least as far as I felt. And this girl was like the same way. Like, she went to school. People loved her. She went home that day and she killed herself with a shotgun, you know. And it was like when it hit, the school just fucking like time just stopped.
Yeah.
And, like, those that knew her were just fucking in pieces. And those that didn't were like, what the fuck? And I remember, because it's a Catholic school, we have to have a mass for fucking everything. You know, a mass for, oh, it's Flag Day. Let's have a mass about it. You know, the pastor stubbed his toe. Let's pray over his toe. Everyone, Om Shabbat, Om Shabbat. Kalima Shanti. It's a different kind of Catholic.
Okay.
You know, they pull the ingrown toenail out. It's all flaming and shit. Then they put his foot in the giant flaming volcano. But no, we had a mass about it, and it was sort of like a memorial kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And at one point, the priest said, "Does anyone want to stand up and say a few words?" And her friends and everything else were standing up and talking about, you know, how amazing she was and how happy they thought that she was. And that's the thing, too, is depression is so elusive.
Yep. Yeah.
It hides so fucking well. Yep. It's like the predator. Like, it just turns on that stealth suit, and you can't see it through the forest.
Especially in teenagers.
Oh, yeah.
Because the pressure to keep up that facade, whatever facade you've either created for yourself or had created for you, is so high that teenagers are really good at hiding it. I know I was.
Yeah.
No one had any idea that I was.
Do you think that other countries have it? Do you think that? Well, I know that especially like in Asian cultures,
mm-hmm.
they're the pressure to succeed, to exceed, to go beyond, to be the best, to bring honor to yourself and to family first. You know, I know that's there, but in other countries, do you think that they have that same semblance of, you know, because when you're in high school, you think that if you don't pass this next test, then it all falls apart. If you don't get into this college, then it all falls apart. If you don't get, you know, to go to the dance with this person, it all falls apart.
Having no knowledge of how high school works in other countries, because you're talking about, there's so many, because you've got private schools and, you know, state-funded schools and all kinds of stuff like that. I don't think it really matters what kind of school it is, because I think those 4 years, from 14 to 18,
mm-hmm.
13 to 18, and even beyond a little bit, I think the pressure is so immense, and it's always put on by yourself.
Yeah.
And it just gets amplified by peer pressure, because everyone wants to be cool. Everyone wants to be liked.
Yeah.
Especially in that time frame. So I think no matter what the school situation is, I don't even think school has anything to do with it. I think from 13 to probably early 20s, that pressure that you put on yourself is seated with yourself, I think, is a better way to put it.
It's watered, nurtured, pressured by teachers,
by outside influences, by parents, and it grows and it grows and it grows. And I think what kind of person you are is determined by how you deal with that, or what kind of person you will become.
Yeah.
And I think that keeping that sort of outside look, like, oh, this doesn't matter, or this, you know, let's all pick on this kid because that's what's cool, or you know, going with the flow of things to keep that popularity that you may have garnered through just sheer luck of being good looking, or the fact that you're really good on the sports field, or whatever it is.
The sports field.
Why I didn't want to say football, because there was basketball.
I'm sorry, what position on the sports field did you play, James?
I played running back.
Running back. Or running back.
Running
back. As he was known in the showers. Well, I think, too, like a lot of bullying comes from that, too.
That was going to be the next point, is there, whatever you do, you know, can define where you are in the social scale of things, whether you're in the popular clique or whether you're in the bottom rung of the losers, whatever that happens to be. For my high school, it was torn between the nerds, which wasn't like your classic nerd, the smart kids or anything.
Pocket protector and the glasses and shit like that.
For my high school, there was basically three cliques. Or three types of clique. There wasn't.
Bryce, do you want to speculate on what those three cliques were?
Jock.
Okay.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nerd.
So the top and the bottom.
And then I'm going to say probably like rockers or punk.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Probably right in the middle.
The jocks and the princesses were kind of one thing. Like, yeah. This school was weird because when I first started there, I was the first kid. No, I take that back. I was the second kid who was really into rock and let it show in how we dressed.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of kids that were into rock and stuff, but they were all very conservative. The majority,
lunchbox.
The majority of the school was jock orientated, yeah. And all the jocks, no matter what sport you played, had a very hot girlfriend.
Yeah, you had to.
That left the more unfortunate looking, such as myself.
Yeah,
but I didn't really fit with the nerds. And I hate calling them nerds because they weren't really nerds.
Yeah, it's a cursory term. It's yeah. Basically the only term that you had for the people that were of that time.
And the rockers, for lack of a better term, weren't really rockers. And that sort of click kind of grew as I was in school.
Yeah.
I know I had a fairly decent sized group of friends, and we were more outsiders than anything.
Yeah.
You know. We actually didn't fit in with the rockers, you know. None of us were jocks, but a lot of us had friends who were jocks.
You guys didn't spend any time on the sports field at all?
I'm going to taint punch you so hard with my sword.
He's
going to
like
you.
It, though.
What about you, Bryce? What were the cliques, and where did you kind of fall in the high school grand scheme?
So my
having
high
gone
school,
to your
was there
high
a sniper
school,
clique?
There,
see, I
they were called the marksmen.
Dude, seriously, I just spike it. I pop it up and he just volleys that shit.
Boom!
For the win.
Here's an interesting fact. I actually graduated from Bryce's high school. I moved up to Portland.
You graduated from Bryce.
Yeah. I graduated from the school of Bryce. And
Bryce Disciple.
Is it very rigorous?
Disciple. You're just going to run past that? Let that shit simmer for a minute. Let the audience enjoy. Let it bask in that awesomeness.
Just wafted in.
I went to the First National Church of Bryce. Yeah. I was a Bryce Disciple.
Will be my legacy. I will have my own church. I won't be a saint or anything.
Jim
I will
got
be my
touched
own.
A lot in the rectory, though. So.
There's Get no rectory started. Touching in
We
my
don't have
church.
Enough time on this podcast for me to fucking go through that fucking run through.
I saw your post about Sister Pius, so I can put a face to the name.
She still fucking lives! Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but like...
No,
let's get
I brought
back,
it
let's,
up.
Let's get,
we got
to
get Don on here to do Sister Pius.
No, we don't. No, we don't. No, we don't.
No, he's going to actually get to see Sister Pius again, I'm sure.
Malia
she'll
actually,
bless you.
Malia, I showed her a picture of her, and she's like, would you ever want to confront her about, you know, the things that she put you through during your, you know, your second grade? She was my teacher in second grade. Fucking great. She looked exactly the goddamn same. Maybe a little less stooped over. She was propped up by the spirit of fucking evil and hatred and fed off the tears
she's
of children.
She's Satan's hand puppet.
Yeah. There's a few. There's very
Can you
few
imagine
children.
Poor Malia trying to get some sleep and Jim just starts tossing and turning, wakes up, Sister Pius! Sister Pius, no!
Yeah, seriously, if I could,
she's not real, Jim. She's not real. No, she's fucking real.
She's the woman that gave. Remember Phantasm? Remember the tall man?
Yeah.
In the Phantasm, she gave him nightmares.
the short woman.
Yeah. No.
The
well,
tall man and the short woman.
Yeah, kind of like the bombs that blew up near Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But no, we're talking about Bryce's. So your high school, like, where did you fit in, like, and where were the other cliques?
So there were lots of cliques, but they were a lot smaller.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of them.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of different subcategories. I was kind of unique because I could kind of go between every clique. I had friends. I literally had friends in every clique. Yeah. Exactly.
He was a floater.
Yeah. So I didn't. I guess
he was
I,
the first xenomorph.
Well, no, he was bitten by a jock. No, I'm sorry. His mom was bitten by a jock while she was pregnant with Bryce, and when she gave birth, he had all of their powers and could like none of their weaknesses.
Yep. I was the next evolution.
But he never
played
stepped foot
Bryce.
Onto the
Come on, sport. It's a very thin parallel to draw.
Hey, I played sports ball. Come on.
On the sports field.
Yeah.
Sports.
Go team, right?
Go raw.
The marksman never missed. Never.
The cheer yellers were there.
Yeah.
On the sports field during the sports game of sports ball.
Yeah.
You might have to excuse me. I have to go sharpen a sword for Jim.
Sharpen it? You know what? No, fuck that. Give me a dull sword. Because that's what I fucking deserve.
Give him a butter knife.
Yeah. No, a spoon.
I will spread you to death. It's going to take a good long time.
I can't believe it's not Willig.
The spread's so good.
But I guess I fit in more with the music scene, like the rock, the metal.
Yeah.
That's where more of my friends were.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. There was going to be more of that sentence.
Nope, that was it.
For me, for my high school, it was, because it was Catholic,
there was one click.
No. The Lord. And that's the only click that matters. You're either in or you're praying for eternal damnation.
Except for the secret clicks.
But no, we had a menagerie. We had some stoners. And it was funny because, you know, you guys got a chance to go to a high school where you could wear whatever you want. So you could wear T-shirts or jeans or whatever to express your individuality.
Yeah, you have no idea some of the shit that I wore.
I would imagine.
I wish you were
sent home for what you were wearing?
Cause
No. Because you were afraid of you. Even the principal was just like, so Bryce is wearing a T-shirt. Just like, let him do it.
Bryce going to school in leather pants and big shoulder pauldrons with giant spikes.
Bandolier of bullets. Just carried the bandolier, no gun.
Are you going to say anything to Bryce? No, the fuck I'm not, because I want to go home today.
He had like the skull makeup.
I actually did corpse paint for one of the bands I was in.
Corpse paint?
Yeah.
Do explain. Is that paint?
You don't know what
with corpses or paint derived from?
No, it's the white paint that like the black metal bands wear.
Racist.
No, it's a genre. It's not a race.
Well, I was. You merely adopted black metal. I was born in it.
I'm not from Norway, so I can't. Or
is that
Sweden.
Is
so
it the
I can't
I was
say.
Doing?
No,
I'm from Norway.
That's where metal is.
I'm from Norway. There's a lot of metal here.
Really? Because you sound like you're from Sweden.
Well, we're very nearby. We're that part of that three-pronged penis sort of comes down.
We make very hard to put together furniture.
Yes. But our balls are delicious.
Put them in your mouth.
Our hot dogs are cheap as well as our soft serve.
Tire wiener and meatballs.
May or may not contain horse.
May or may not contain horse. This tastes like...
Tastes like Mr. Ed.
Tastes like a mare. Yeah, right here.
Black Beauty, no!
No!
So you would wear face paint to school?
No, not to school.
Oh, okay. Well, it's, I don't know.
Well, if he did, no one would say anything to him.
Like,
did you guys see what Bryce was... We don't talk about
the band I was in, one of our concerts I did.
What was the name of the band?
Kriven.
Kriven?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Doesn't really mean anything. Okay.
It wasn't as good as Monkey Fook Cheese, but... You know.
Monkey fuck cheese. That was. And we did mostly.
Except we actually
folk
had
covers.
Gigs, so there's a difference.
Okay. Ouch! Wow.
We actually made money. Not very much, but.
I gotta try and find those posters I made of Monkey Fook Cheese. I know I've got them somewhere.
But no, I much like Bryce was also kind of a day walker. I could, because by the time I got to high school. I had already been playing for their freshman football squad since seventh grade, so I was already in with the jocks. My dad...
Steroids!
Sorry. Clearly, that would explain the small penis and the bad skin, but little else.
You only got side effects.
Yeah, that's all I got. What the fuck is wrong with the syringe?
Giant head, little penis.
I'm not getting any stronger. I'm not angry. I mean, I'm angry at the syringe, but... You know, you guys... Because we're not strong, big. What about me? What about Big Jim? Come on.
Jim, you got to lift
weights. I sound like the Cowardly Lion. I was the Cowardly Lion on the sports ball team field. Put him up. Put him up. Let's go play some sports ball.
Jim, you're supposed to lift weights after you do the steroids.
There's no place like home base. There's no place like home base. I'm going to go to the home base end zone.
Throw me the ball.
But no, so like, I was already in with the jocks. My dad was the director of the one-act play and the speech and debate team, so I was already into that as soon as I got into freshman year. I was also a very big nerd and into video games and into like tabletop and shit, and so I had like that nerd aspect. So I wasn't just someone that was like, you know, friends with these groups. I was in those groups. Mm. And it got very difficult because there were times when the jocks would pick on the nerds. And I'd be like, whoa, 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 leave these guys the fuck alone because these are my fucking friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking back off. I mean, it never quite got to that degree, but they knew because I was in all those different groups that I was kind of like I was like Jimmy Carter. I'd walk in there and I'd be like, hey, now let's build a bridge of communication between the nerds and the jocks, and let's not have it like Revenge of the Nerds. Where
was
like
that Jimmy Carter you were doing? Because that was
Jimmy Carter with a stroke. Strokey Carter is what I used to be.
Ladies and gentlemen, President Strokey Carter.
I can't move half my face. But I remember too, there were other kids that I could see that were like kind of stragglers that didn't know where they fit in. They weren't rock enough to be a part of the rock group or didn't want to be a part of the rock group. They weren't nerd enough or didn't think they were nerd enough, or maybe they were too nerdy to try and want to associate themselves with the nerd group because maybe they felt like they would be even mocked by their own ilk in that sense. And I remember there was one day I was walking down the halls, walking past the weight room, heading towards the cafeteria. And there was this kid, and he was like, just looked like he was about ready to burst in tears. And I'm walking down one side of the hallway, and he's walking down the other, and there's nobody else there. And I crossed and got in front of him, and I just like stood there. He looked up at me like, with this look of fear. I'm just like, what's wrong? Like, he thought I was gonna be like, give me your fucking lunch money. I'm just like, dude, what the fuck is wrong?
I'm about to make your day even worse.
Yeah,
I'm gonna give you a hug.
We're like a dick warmer. Just get on here. But like, I could tell, like, there.
Tell me what's bothering you.
And like, he didn't know.
You will talk.
He didn't know how to react because, like, he wasn't used to that. He was used to, like, either being picked on or ignored.
Yeah.
Completely. And then, what's worse, being the focus of ridicule or being completely fucking invisible by everyone around you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I refuse to let him be that in that moment. I'm just like, what the fuck is wrong? And like, he's just like, I'm having a bad day. I'm just like, you're fucking awesome. Fucking don't let that shit get to you. I got to get to class, and I left it. I just made it real brief and I just walked the fuck on and let him go about his day.
Here's an enthusiastic. That's all I got time for.
Give me that dick. Give me that dick, boy. Give me that dick. Oh, my God. Do you work out? Do you go to a sports ball team? Games or events?
You clearly aren't using steroids because this thing is huge.
My arm is so tired. Jesus Christ. I know a dick could get this big. My God, pushing against the back of my thigh. And that's how I met my boyfriend that I went to prom with. But yeah, like I wanted to be that. I wanted to be someone that could be a part of all different groups. It also put a lot of pressure on me because, if you put too much attention towards one group, then the other group starts to get all like butt hurt and jealous or whatever. And I had to sort of like balance that shit. I had, fuck, this sounds like a pat on the old, taint or whatever. For myself, but like there were, you had the tables when you got to the lunchroom. You had this table for these guys, these people for these guys, these table for these guys, and like if you spend too much time at one table, then the other table would get jealous and be like, "What the fuck? Why aren't you hanging out with us anymore? Do you not like us?" Because it was so fucking the fragility of friendship was so light back in the day.
Yeah,
you had to fucking be able to walk that distance between the two. And, looking back now, it just looks so fucking stupid. And I'm glad that I made it through, that a lot of my friends made it through. But I can see that sense of no hope. Mm-hmm. The reason why was because leading up to that, when I was in elementary school, I was that source of ridicule. I didn't have any group that wanted me. The nerds would fucking, spit in my lunch. The fucking jocks would shit in my sports ball team lunchbox. There was nothing that I could really, cling to. I was a.
Did they do it on the sports field? Is that where they did it?
Sports ball field, yeah.
Sports ball court.
Yeah. Is it a court? They have a court now.
There's. I think there's a few.
It's like a triangle.
Yeah.
You can't just make finger gestures.
Like a diamond,
maybe. It's like this. You guys hear that, right? Look at this right here.
Yes. See that? Yeah.
There it is. Morse code.
Yeah.
But
I was like you. I unfortunately had the I didn't stay in one high school, which
really
any parents listening, seriously, your kid gets into high school, I don't care what it is, let them stay in that high school
if they're happy though.
Yeah,
if they're in a fucking world of shit. Yeah. Let them find someplace else.
Here, let me say this: listen to your child.
Yeah,
that's the biggest thing.
That's Bryce Abedes. He'll fucking kill you in your sleep.
I was unfortunately
Jesus.
The child of parents who really didn't pay too much attention to the happiness of the children.
Yeah.
They were too busy working out. Okay, I should preface this. One parent cared more about the children than the other parent. The other parent was very much out for themselves,
was
but
parent
justified,
prom?
Maybe, justified everything they did, like it was for the benefit of the family, but really only benefited them. Yeah. And many of the decisions they made in regards to the family is what broke up the family.
Okay.
So my freshman year in high school, I was at a very large high school. I didn't have a large group of friends, but I was a freshman. Didn't really care. And I will say that the friends that I did have and the experiences I did have, I think helped me later.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that I learned, and I wish a lot of teenagers would or could, is that I learned that I don't give a fuck what other people think.
Yeah.
By the end of my freshman year, I had had it with so much crap. And my freshman year started off really bad, but
if you don't mind talking about it, like what happened?
Well, just it wasn't a rough high school, but there was a lot of people just trying to be dominant.
Okay,
you know,
a lot of alphas.
A lot of alphas, and I
guys that are peaking in high school, basically.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I had no intention of being an alpha, but I wasn't a follower either.
Yeah.
I wanted to be myself. Even though it hadn't really occurred to me at the start of freshman year that I wanted to just do my own thing,
mm-hmm.
I had two really good friends. Within 3 months, one of them had moved away.
Oh, fuck.
So it was just me and
what's
someone
that like who... when a close friend moves away? What's that like?
I'll tell you in a couple of months.
Over the phone, you piece of shit. Die in a fire raped by spiders.
So it was just me and my what turned out to be my best friend. And we got into so much, I don't want to say trouble because we never really got into trouble, but we just always like, I got a job and I recommended him
in
when there was
school?
An opening. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wasn't by choice. It was my parents going, oh, you need to get a job.
Yeah, because this whole high school thing is so fucking easy. Why don't you go ahead and get a job on the side? Yeah.
So,
do something important.
Be a congressman. Be a sportsball
agent.
Opening
came up. I got him the position, and yeah. And you know, we worked together for a little while until he quit because fuck that. And I didn't have the balls to stand up to my parents and go, nah, I don't want to keep doing this job. Because I fucking hated it.
Where'd you work?
As a dishwasher at McGrath's Fish House. Yeah.
Dude, with like the bottomless like shrimp?
They didn't have bottomless shrimp then.
Oh, wow.
There was a bottom.
There's...
It was called
it was a very shallow bottom.
Waitress, there's a bottom to this plate. I'm just going to point that out to you.
That's
you
false advertising.
You should probably be fired.
But
tell the dishwasher get out here because these dishes are delicious.
But we were like, we didn't fit into any clique.
Yeah.
We hadn't even decided who we were.
Yeah.
Like, were we going to be nerds? Were we going to be rockers? Were we going to be, you know, just none of it. For us, it was day to day. It was like.
Oh, really? We're at that start of the show where Bryce has got to unbuckle his spine? Well, no, and sometimes if you can just find that one person, that makes all the fucking difference.
Yeah. So we, for us, it was like go to school, hang out, see who can make the other one laugh first.
Yeah.
You know, and how far can we carry this joke until we're both on the ground crying, laughing
sides
so hard.
Hurt. I got
did
lucky
that so much.
Because my best friend throughout all of school, we went to kindergarten through high school together.
Yeah.
I got lucky where I had.
Wow,
I had some
seriously?
Yeah.
Like, that's a dude, like, that's with you for life right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Well, we kind of fell off after high school.
What the fuck, Bryce?
Yeah,
what the happened. Fuck? What do you mean when you say what fell off? I mean, like, did he mysteriously catch a bullet from a large distance or something? Like,
you know what this is
did
for.
You hear, like, did you hear something?
Third that's grade. March 17th.
Just a whistle.
Well, and too, when you're in school, you think that these friends that you have are going to be the friends that are your fucking core for the rest of your life, because that's all you fucking know.
Well, here's the...
And, like, you know, you move on, you progress, and those friends either fall away, new friends move in, you go off, you do other things. I always felt like I was doing a disservice to the friends that got me to where I was to meet these new friends. And yet, at the same time, you got to understand that those people got to go and live their lives. You know, yes, you had those great times together. Nothing's going to take that shit away.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, because at the end of freshman year, this guy who I'd spent, you know, just about every day with, apparently decided that he wasn't happy, because it was just him and his mom.
Yeah.
And he decided he wasn't happy. We had, when I had a girlfriend, he was dating that girl's best friend.
Yeah.
And we had a couple relationships, and mine fell apart. The last one I had, mine fell apart. He broke up with a great girl and then ran away.
Wow.
They found him pretty quickly, and then his mom shipped him off to Texas to live with his dad, which, from what I understood, was a great thing for him.
Okay.
Not that either of us were into drugs or anything like that, but they kind of...
mom to do. Just, just fucking live with your...
Well, I think he kind of wanted to...
If it's the better... pretty sure at that point, he's probably running to Texas anyway.
Yeah. So I had a really bad breakup, and then my best friend gone.
Oh, fuck, dude.
So really low place to begin with. And then...
This is freshman without, year?
No, this is at the end of freshman year. I think it was July.
Yeah.
This all kind of happened within like 2 weeks.
So like some between freshman and sophomore.
I was looking forward to sophomore year, because everything at the end of freshman year through the summer to this point had been fantastic.
Yeah.
So I was really amping up, and then end of July, everything just fell apart. And so from, I'd say, mid-July through August, I was kind of in a bad headspace.
I wouldn't doubt it, yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, again... pretty unique for teenagers to go, okay, all this happened, but what am I supposed to learn from this?
Yeah.
What are the takeaways from this? So I was looking at going into sophomore year with no friends.
Yeah.
Because I'd only had the one. But I was like, there was a lot of people at the school that I knew, that I talked to. We weren't friends.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of acquaintances, and I had options. I could have like fallen into any number of groups.
So basically you took the good...
A week before, you
took them both, and there you had the sports ball team. The sports ball team.
That won the big game.
When are you leaving again?
Can't be too fucking soon.
Is it, like, tomorrow?
Surprise, here's a plane ticket.
let me help you.
Big Jim's our big winner today. What did he win? He wins the fuck off this show. There's the door.
Back to Amishville.
Here's your fucking hat. Get the fuck back to Sodomyville.
But here's the problem with all of that, in that... without even discussing it with me, my brother, or sister, my parents had decided they were going to uproot the family a week before school started.
Oh, fuck, man.
Whole new town, whole new school, and I already had a bad attitude. I was very angry. So my sophomore year was fucked.
Were you like me, where you thought, like, you know, at the end of 1 year, you thought the next year was going to be like, this is the year. It's just going to be perfect. They're going to have everything lined up. I'm going to rock it from day one to the end, to the last.
I never thought that I was going to rock it. I was getting myself set up that it's going to be a good year.
Yeah.
I'm going to work harder.
Yeah.
And just, I was kind of, I wasn't of the wait and see, but I was going to, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Let's just kind of roll with it and see what happens, because good things always happen whenever I did that. I was, you know, I'm not going to sit by and let things happen to me, but I'm going to try and make things happen and see, you know.
Yeah.
I had also started playing guitar then. I was going
play
to...
play guitar?
Poquito.
You play Spanish guitar?
Oh, my God.
On the sports field. I am the lead member of the quarterback core of the sports ball team quarterback
core. I'm quite progressive, you might say. Shut up.
You want to hit me? You want to hit me one time? Just want to hit me? Come on.
Not yet.
Right here. Yeah, I know you want to. I know you fucking want to. Come on, one time. Come on.
Hey, afraid? Bryce.
You afraid? Sports play? No.
He's been wanting to do that for a while.
Yeah. No, it felt pent up. Yep, there it is.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think of that. Hey,
did you hit a blood vessel? What the fuck? I'm bleeding.
Yeah, that's for leaving.
I can't leave now. I don't have legs. I got no legs. Jimmy No Legs over here.
By the way, great mafia name.
Jimmy No Legs.
From the special needs
Where's
mafia.
Where's Jimmy No Legs?
Special needs mafia.
Where the fuck?
I'm here to see Jimmy No Legs.
I tell you what, you get Mark Wahlberg on the phone, tell him right the fuck now, we got an idea for a new mafia. We get, here's the thing, we get, what's his name, fucking Johnny Depp. We cut off all his arms, all his legs.
All his arms?
All his arms, all 17 of them. His legs, all four, you know, and we just put him in a basket, okay?
A basket?
Basket mafia.
Pull him down a river.
Are you trying to get your accent back? What?
It's trying to get something back, trying to get some dignity back, trying to get some...
So sophomore year sucked, but what's funny is in the summer between sophomore and junior years, I met a guy who'd become a lifelong friend, and during my junior year, I met another guy who'd become a lifelong friend, and I garnered a group of friends that to this day we're all still, you know, we're friends. We talk fairly regularly. So, and then senior year, I moved to Portland, but that was more by
choice.
Your legs
started all twitching and stuff. Like, just like, was that like a? Then I moved to Portland.
I moved.
Jesus fucking.
Here's
Christ.
The funny thing. I moved to Portland for a girl. I moved to Portland for a girl, and her name was Meth.
That's Methelina. Was her first name Crystal?
Yes.
I know a couple of girls named that. Yeah.
No, but that move turned out to be good.
Yeah.
Too, but at the same time, changing high schools. While you're in high school is really rough.
It's, you know, again, it's
and when you go from a small high school, when you go from a big high school to a small high school to an enormous high school, it's really rough, the culture switch.
Because, I mean, like, the big high school, maybe, you know, you're just, that's your first introduction to what high school life is like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're trying to get your foothold, you're loading all these files into your mind as to, like, okay, this is how it works. We've got the sports ball team over here. We've got the nerds over there. We've got these other cliques all over the place. Okay, we're going to uproot you from there. We're going to put you sophomore year into a small school. We're just like, we've got one book. We all share it. The teacher, the students, the principal, everyone shares the same.
The answers are all in it already for the teachers.
You know, we've got a half-empty pen that we all have to share. Don't fucking fuck up. And then like from there, you go into like enormous school where, like, you know, there's like, you know, just like just,
you're completely buried.
You know, you're walking into like, you know, like like one of the bays from like Battlestar Galactica. Yeah. Like, there's like millions of fucking people all over the fucking place.
Was pretty hard to walk through the hallways during class.
What school was that?
Which one?
The last one, the big one that
Rex
you and Bryce went to.
Rex Putnam.
Bryce Beatties?
It's where I became a Bryce-cyple, but that was not the official name of the church.
There were many, many
Bryce-cyples. School.
Yeah.
But there was only one.
But what was the name of the school?
Rex Putnam.
Rex Putnam, okay.
Yeah. And we're not too far from it right now.
How many students did you have, like, say, senior year?
Senior year, the graduating class was somewhere between 500 and 1,000 kids.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
My senior year, the entirety of Lancaster Catholic High School, I'm kidding you, my dad was in the faculty, so he had a copy of the entire student body list of names. Senior year at Lancaster Catholic High School, 666 students. Funny side point, one student was expelled before the end of that day. Don't know why. No, actually, no, I do know why.
I got you beat.
Really?
Our graduation day was supposed to be 666.
Really?
They moved it off by
June
one day.
June 6 of 06?
Yes. They moved it off one day, so it was 676.
Wait, you graduated in 06?
Yeah.
From high school?
Yeah.
Hey, fuck you guys. No, I'm done. I'm moving to Pennsylvania. Fuck this.
He's going to go bar.
How old the fuck are you?
28.
Fuck you. Young son. Life and joy and stuff in front of you.
Do you need your water?
Sports ball teams all around the place.
Cheer yellers.
God damn it. Well, enjoy it. It only gets better from here.
He said
what's,
through gritted
what's
teeth.
Funny is the high school I moved from, the graduating class that I was in, was less than 100 students. It was like 98 students.
We were about maybe 125, maybe 150.
Major
graduating class.
Shit. I know, you know. I know my class was even bigger than yours.
Yeah.
I don't have numbers, but.
Yeah, I think it was like probably between 400 and 500 students. I mean, it was pretty big.
Yeah, I think it was at least 1,000.
I didn't know a single person in the senior class.
Yeah.
Not one.
I knew most of them because most of them I had gone to pretty much elementary through middle school.
My first high school, I knew everyone by sight and I knew names. So I knew names and faces in my freshman year.
Hey, you, bro, buddy.
Students that I hadn't gone to junior high with. By the end of freshman year, I knew everyone in my class.
Yeah.
You know what's fucked up?
The next school I went to, I knew everyone in every class. So, I mean, it's a big shift. And going back to what we were talking about earlier, when you shift, I think all those negative feelings that you have to deal with, I think they're actually more compounded in a smaller school because everyone knows each other.
Yeah.
Without doubt,
When you're in a large
high
school,
which is a good and a bad thing
at
the same time.
But when you're in a large high school, it's easy to get lost in the crowd and not have to worry about so many people bullying
you.
Because it's like you're facing the crowd and who cares.
Yeah.
But when you're in a smaller high school,
they pick the kids that are going to get picked on, and
it is
always that.
It is like the jungle. They fucking can sense weakness,
and
they
worse now because of Facebook and stuff. Because it's not just at school.
Yeah,
where you can go home.
Yeah, because it doesn't stop. It never stops.
It continues.
Imagine for a moment if the three of us were back in, like, let's go back to like junior high, and
well, here's a question: in junior high, do you think the three of us would be friends?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think James and I would meet at a Sabotage concert.
Dude, do you go to my school?
And Bryce would shoot two of our friends on the sports ball team and be like, where the fuck were those
and
gunshots
and insert himself
from?
Into our group.
Hey what's guys, going on? I'm wearing the skins of your friends. I made out of this coat.
I see you're out on the sports field.
Look at this leather suit that I'm wearing made of your friends.
You like my hat? It's made of their faces.
You look very familiar. I don't know what it is.
I should.
But imagine for a hot minute that, you know, we were back in that day. You know, if somebody passed a note in class that said, you know, Big Jim's got a smelly butt or something like something.
I would reply, how do you know?
No
Have
duh.
You been sniffing his butt?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you can see that with that authority now, but back in the day, you just laugh because one person's
yeah. But the back in the day, I know myself. Back in the day, it would have been followed with a follow up like, "Why are you smelling Big Jim's butt?" Yeah.
Well, either way, it's like, you know, back then it was just that classroom.
Yeah.
It was that one
on
the walls. Now it's the fucking goddamn planet.
Yeah.
If you put something on the goddamn internet that says Bryce, you know. Fuck three.
You don't put anything about Bryce on the
team.
Internet,
or whatever. You know, then
it's there forever.
You hit enter, and it's not only there forever, but it goes for the entire world to see. And like, how do you just comprehend? How do you fucking compound that mentality of that's what your brain goes to as a kid? As a kid, realizing that that's going to be there for the rest of time.
And here's the other side of that too, because there's not only all that bullying stuff, but there's kids willingly uploading pictures of themselves naked to the internet.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, I just sent a dick pic.
I'm going to send it to my boyfriend. Your fucking boyfriend's going to upload it for the world to see.
Yeah, James. He's keeping it for his buddies, too.
James,
sorry I put that picture about you.
James, what is your boyfriend's name?
Well, it's not Big Jim anymore.
Ouch. Wow, come on.
There's a hole that needs to be filled.
I'll fuck you.
No pun intended.
There's a hole in my taint that can only be filled by you. Yes, it is extreme. I don't give a fuck. I will quote those motherfuckers. It's a good goddamn song.
Can we switch topics here really quick because we're running out of time and I do want to get to this. You announced when you came in you were wearing your future wife's
I was really hoping we could sort of like blur
past that.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, I got up this morning to come to this show and I realized I was out of my signature box of briefs And Malia was just like, you know, hey, I got these clean pair of like old and busted, you know, panties. If you want, I only throw them on like, you know, like when need be. These are like break glass in case of. And so she tossed them to me. I'm like, all right, cool. So I grabbed them like
they
with
fluttered
a,
through the wind with
one hand. God, what is it on my face? Jesus Christ. Are you seeing my girlfriend's fat? Is that what you're saying? That my girlfriend's got a fat ass? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Am I seeing that my girlfriend's got a fat ass?
I think so.
It kind of sounds like.
And she does, and it's fucking amazing. I know black women that stop her on the street and say, girl, you keep doing what you do. Right there. Look at that ass.
You want this ass. Chicken? You, I
if
got this
that
chicken
ass was a sports ball team, girl, I'd be buying season tickets, girl. I'm saying.
Anyway, so they hit you in the face.
I grabbed them. I was like, no, these are not going to fit me. And so I put one foot through the one leg hole, like you're supposed to. And I put my other leg through the other leg hole, like a normal person
you
does.
You humans do one leg at a time? God, you're wasting so much time.
Look, from you know, we're not on Omicron Persei 8, okay? You know, we're not.
Do you jump into yours?
Yeah.
You have him in the sling and you jump? Yeah, so do I.
His underwear appear on him.
I never have to change.
It's made of guns.
Wow, this. This Derringer is frying up on me. Jesus, weapon of the cross. But yeah, so she tossed me a pair of panties, and I was like, you know, let's see these bad boys rock. And so I pulled them up, and like, I pulled them on. I looked at myself in the mirror. I swear to God, I look like a fucking professional wrestler. Like, I don't know if you guys remember a professional wrestler by the name of Val Venus.
Hello, ladies.
Yes. He wore like, these purpley, kind of mauve-y, kind of like lavender colored.
Always walked out into the ring wearing just a towel.
Just a towel.
Let me guess, you put the towel on, didn't you?
Actually, I was wearing a towel prior to that because I didn't have any fucking underwear on. She tossed me the pants. I said, oh, let's see these bad boys fit. I pulled them up. I mean, yes, there were some snapping noises. Like, you remember in like Temple of Doom at the end when Indy's trying to escape and he's got like he's on that rope bridge?
Yeah.
He's like, so he slices the one side and all the guys fall off and then the alligators eat him up. That sounded like the rope starting to break. That was the sound these panties were making as it was yanking them up. And now they're cutting up the gut. I can't feel my legs. Can't feel them right there. That's meat right there. I can't feel that shit. So there I am.
What I find funniest about this whole thing is he walks into the studio today and declares it.
Proudly.
But I will say,
bow down,
I don't know what it is.
Val Venus.
But you seem to have, like, you feel prettier.
Well, my dick's like a small, shy turtle at this point. It's inside. It's inside my body. It's not coming out. Unless somebody kicks me in the ass, it's and it sort of comes out through the front. Shy turtle.
I don't know where to go with this.
Balls, sports balls in your sports ball court. There, James. Your corner
tennis
pitcher.
Balls in your basketball court. Right?
Your corner pitcher in this.
Apparently, the tennis ball that was a basketball is in Jim's underpants.
Your corner pitcher in this, you know, basketball event field.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Now that I understand the panties, what's with the high heels?
Well, a girl wants to feel fucking pretty, doesn't she? And yes, I'm not wearing socks. I'm aware of that. It's fine. I dressed hurriedly.
Well, they're open-toed shoes, so you don't really want to wear socks with those.
Well, like, Daddy likes a little open-toed.
He's the kind of guy that wears socks with sandals.
Let the dogs fucking breathe,
no, when
bro.
When he goes back to Pennsylvania, that's
they're going to be like, you smell different. Let me see them feet, boy.
You smell like liberty.
And I'm proud to be a Willie, because at least I know my feet are free. And I'm proud to say those men who played on the sports ball field are...
You know, I'd like to say we're going to get a replacement for Jim, but I don't think there's anyone.
No.
Best of luck.
There is no replacement.
I would say start looking at the, you know, the mental institutions now. There's got to be a couple out there.
We get Don Frost to do it.
He's too busy. He's already...
He's all famous and shit.
God. Well, look at that. I mean, maybe that'll happen to us. I mean, Don gets rid of Jim and suddenly he's famous. Maybe once we get rid of Jim, people will start listening to us.
Wow. Yeah, that's what I am.
Let's just shake off his anchor.
You know, I'm actually surprised that once we brought Jim on the show, we didn't tank. Because Jim is known for tanking stuff.
Usually, yeah, I'm there until the very end.
KUFO, Court and Fat Boy.
Fucking sky's the goddamn limit. Enjoy. Enjoy this skyrocket to the goddamn stars.
Perfect.
Yeah, he is kind of the...
I like Mary
Ted
Poppins.
McGilly. Ted McGinley.
Ted McGinley, yes. Tin Man or whatever.
Ted the sports field guy.
Yeah. He was great in that afterball game that I saw the other week. It was the finals, I believe, or the semifinals.
Wow. Poignant stuff today, up until the end. Then it got weird.
Well, yeah.
The whole thing is always weird.
Long story short, if you're a parent and you've got kids and they're happy in the high school that they're at, find a way to let them be there.
Yeah.
If they're in a high school and shit sucks for them, if it means moving, then fucking make that move.
Yeah.
Because those 4 years are very formative and they form who they fucking are. On the other side of that coin, too, as what I want to make before we leave, is sometimes that pain, sometimes that stress helps bring you out of what you thought you were in to something that you never realized that you could be.
Yeah. It does strengthen you.
So,
I mean,
keep that in mind.
Strife is a big part of growing up.
High school is, and I think I've said this before on other shows, high school is where you start to learn who you are as a person.
Yeah.
Whether or not you stay that person is a whole other thing, but you do start to discover what kind of person you're going to be. You learn a lot about yourself. And I think a lot of that comes with how you deal with bullying, or if you are a bully, or, you know, the friendships you make and how you treat those people. And most importantly, how you deal with the everyday pressures of high school.
On the next episode, we can discuss the fact that I, in fact, was a bully at one point in time. Believe it or not. As much of a victim as I am of bullying from you fucktards every goddamn week. You know, there was a time when I was actually, and that wasn't one out of personal choice. I was one out of
necessity.
Anyway, always leave the audience wanting more.
You know,
until
we might
the
have
time
to.
Time comes when I leave, and I just, you know, I open up my umbrella and I grab my little, like, you know, medicine bag, and I just sort of float away like Mary Poppins. Jimmy Poppins is who I am. My other mafia name, Jimmy Poppins. What's going on, Jimmy Poppins?
I'm more afraid of Jimmy No Legs than I am Jimmy Poppins.
Chim chimery, shut the fuck up, or there's going to be a free fall for me.
You should have thought
it
that out.
It sounded better in my head. It really does. Free fall for me? I got nothing. Can we edit that out? Can we just sort of
snip? As a matter of fact, that's going to be the highlight of the show.
Maybe next time we can talk about Deadpool. That'd be nice.
Oh, yeah, we never did get to that.
Yeah. We were talking about fucking suicide in high school for a goddamn hour and a goddamn half.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Trust me, I got some stories to tell about that, but... James, final thoughts on today's show. Welcome back to today's show.
You know, here's a
Balls Deep with James. James, how do you feel about being balls deep in the story? You got a white hand. White hand.
Who's your daddy now, bitch?
Jimmy White Hand, right there. I can taste blood.
Tastes like your turn, Bryce. Get a good hit on him while you got the chance.
No.
I'll go for a soft spot.
I'll give him a freebie today.
Oh, come on.
It's a freebie.
Oh, thank you.
That tap.
Oh,
false sense of security. I love it.
Why do you hate me?
So many reasons.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.